Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome to the show. Today is April 7th, 2024, the first episode of Strikeout Bros with Lasha and Pablo. Today we'll be talking about the Yankees' incredible start with the addition of Juan Soto, the Metropolitans, and our opinions on what's wrong over there, the up-and-coming Baltimore Orioles, and the mighty comeback kings, the Atlanta Braves. Stay tuned. Hey, Lash, what's up, bro?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good.
It's been an interesting week to talk about the things that passed. So
most definitely. A lot of good things are happening out there in the baseball world. What do you want to start with?
Let's start with the Yankees, man.
Wow.
So far, the acquisition of Soto's turned out to be great. He was exactly what they needed. He needed that. He was that missing piece. He's been lights out since he came on. I think he has one home run so far, or two. I forgot.
He has one home run so far, but you're 100% right. It's funny how some players, you know, can't really make a difference when they come over to a new ball club, but Juan Soto's very different. He's an animal. He's somebody that can change the dynamic of a team.
Yeah, and so far you can tell he's not. Some people that come to New York, whether it be on the Mets or the Yankees, they tend to get starstruck, and they can't seem to handle the limelight that New York and the criticism that comes with playing in New York. That's a lot of pressure, and most people can't handle that. But so far, Juan's been doing a great job of handling it,
defensively and offensively. You know, I would expect more home runs by this time, but he's hitting the ball like a maniac. He's really good at it. He's scary. And with, you know, having Judge there, Giancarlo, if he comes back to his true form, they're definitely going to the playoffs. I have a feeling that, you know, they're going to be a force. I'm sorry?
Yes, Stanton did have a grand slam today. So who knows, if he gets hot, that'd be another big piece. They're very powerful. When they're healthy and the bats are working, that's a dangerous team to play. They just hit home runs. That's their strength.
Yeah, it's serious, man. It changes everything. I agree.
Yeah, so far, I think the goal for the Yankees is to try to stay afloat until Gerrit Cole comes back. I think he's throwing a rehab session, or is starting to throw again this week. So that'll be good for them if they can get him back quicker. For now, they're just going to roll with the pitchers that they have and see what happens. If your offense can carry you and they can score 5-plus runs a game, then, you know, you don't have to worry about your pitching trying to hold the fort if you can do the heavy lifting. If the offense can carry until Gerrit Cole comes back, man, the Yankees are in good condition.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, the funny thing about those guys, they won 5 in a row to start the season, right? And the last time that happened was 32 years ago, all right? Wow. So you know there's something special there. There's something special there. As much as I hate to say it, I'm a true Met fan, but the Yankees have something special there. And at the right time, too. because Baltimore's getting stronger. You know, with the addition of Corbin Burns, that was a great move on their part. I don't even think they needed him, but he's a force. He's another addition to your baseball team that can really make a difference.
No, they definitely need him because they don't have a true ace, really. Kyle Bradish was their best pitcher last year, but he's on the IL. Grayson Rodriguez is going to his first full year as a starter, so who knows how he'll do. So far, he did good. And then Dean Kramer had a good game today, but he would have got the win, but you know, defense ruined the game. But anyway, so who knows? Yeah, they needed an ace. So you got to have an ace if you want to be a competitive team. If you look at all the teams, the Astros, the Dodgers, and the the Texas Rangers, they all have aces. Even the Yankees, even though Cole's hurt, he's an ace. You know,
yes, he Mets, is. I mean, Cy Young,
Freed, Strider, they have aces. You want it, the best teams have an ace. You just you have to have an ace. There's no way about it. So
they especially in the playoffs. Yeah,
yeah, well, definitely in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, it's all about pitching in the playoffs.
Yeah, Corbin has been – he's been good. He's had a good outing the last – the first two starts. I think he lost one. The other one was the decision – or won one and the other one.
He won one. He won one. He was definitely something I was looking at last week. He was definitely strong. And it's funny because the Yankees, they lost twice this year. And they were blanked. They couldn't score. And the Blue Jays did it to them. And Zach Gallen. Arizona Diamondbacks. Shut them down.
Arizona, yeah.
Shut them down.
That was the first loss of the year.
That was the first loss of the year, and it was a bad one. But good pitching can dominate the Yankees. Well, good pitching can dominate the Yankees. So you have to be careful because their pitching is a little suspect, you know? So you have to understand, like, if Cole isn't on point, if Nestor's not on point, Stroman, for some reason, has been pretty impressive. And his energy, I didn't like it in the clubhouse when he was a Met. He was angry, too showy. He was showboat, but it works for the Yankees. For some reason, he really wanted to be there. And he's showing them that he's worth the money. Two great starts. Won one, lost one. He pitched like six innings. Amazing work. Still lost the game, but the pitching is there. The pitching is there. I see it. They, you know, they spend a little money. And it's kind of working out for them.
Yeah. Well, let's transition to the other team in New York. I know the Mets just came off a winning series, 2 out of 3 versus Cincinnati.
Finally.
I don't know what it is, but they seem to play a little better away from home. I don't know if it's the pressure, the cold, but you're the expert. So what do you think is the problem with the Mets?
I can't explain it. The bats are definitely a problem. The pitching, on the other hand, for some reason, I didn't even know this because I was so upset with the losses that I wasn't keeping track. Well, yesterday I was watching the game and they throw this stat up on the board, you know, a little bit of information stuff. And I'm like, get out of here. I can't believe it. My head exploded. So apparently the team ERA combined with the bullpen starting rotation and bullpen is 2.18 prior to today's ball game. And the starting rotation's ERA is 2.23. Right?
That's pretty good for a team.
That's pretty amazing. Exactly, right? And then their bullpen ERA is 2.12. All right? Too bad we aren't hitting. We're not hitting. Too bad we aren't hitting. Because if we were hitting, we would be destroying everybody. Because apparently the pitching is the best. It's the best in the National League. How so? How crazy is that?
Well, I think getting Diaz helps a lot because it lifts up a lot of the heavy lifting that the other relievers would have to do. You know, you had who was your closer last year?
Oh man, it was
his replacement. It was anybody. Everybody. It was a rotation.
Yeah, it was a rotation of closers. Yeah, if needed.
But they had pitchers who were not pitching in the position that they usually pitch. So you know, if you have an eighth inning guy, now he's got to pitch a ninth. If you had a guy that's the setup man, he couldn't do that because he's playing closer or vice versa. Knowing that you have Diaz in the back really helps a lot. That's a lot of pressure taking off the rest of the staff.
It is.
The goal for the Mets right now is, one, try to score a little bit more runs, but if your starting pitching can go five innings, that'd be great. I know you lost Cody Senga. He should be coming back in a couple of weeks. But yeah. The additions of Julio Teheran, I think that's a good under-the-radar signing.
Definitely,
if he can
agree.
Just stay under the radar. He doesn't have to be amazing. He doesn't have to be the Atlanta version of Julio Teheran. He just got to be, you know, kind of like what he was in Milwaukee. You know, he's not going to be flash. He's not going to, like, the numbers aren't going to pop out. But no. You want them. There'll be enough that it allows your offense to have a chance to score.
It's interesting.
Hold
yeah.
down the opponents and then help you score runs or yeah. prevent. I'll give you opportunity to score runs. That's if the Mets can do that.
Yeah, he's making his debut tomorrow with the Mets at his own stomping ground, which is funny, in the ATL. It's crazy because he was there for 9 seasons.
He right? was great, man.
He was great. He was a Mets killer. That's
he
what
was
they
their
called
ace.
Him.
He, yeah. yeah, he really was. He was there.
He was. From 2011 to 2019, amazing, right? And then, mm-hmm. you know, he did a stint in Anaheim, I believe. And then after that, he went to Milwaukee. In Milwaukee, he wasn't so great, you know. He went 3-for-5 and 11 starts. But he was yeah. a threat when he was in Atlanta. And he's going back home, and he's going to pitch for the Mets. It's going to be super interesting. The novella is always there in baseball. It's crazy. You know, you move players around, but the drama is always there. It's crazy. You know, and a lot of players move around, but they move around in their own division. So it makes it even funnier, you know, because everybody knows each other. Everybody knows each other's strengths, you know. So I can't wait to watch tomorrow's baseball game. It's going to be fun to watch that one. And I'm scared for the Mets because, you know, if they go to Atlanta and they come back, you know, hurting, they can't get swept by Atlanta. They need to either split it or take the series. This is the only way we should come home, you know, with a little momentum. But
yeah,
we're talking about the Atlanta Braves. Braves are crazy. They're tough.
Who would you say for the Mets, would you say is your surprise hitter, like you thought wasn't going to do anything but is doing well? And then who would you say is the most disappointing offensive player?
Very easy to answer. Starling Marte has been producing from day one. He wants to stay there. He's that veteran player that is showing you why he belongs there. All right, because, you know, we're rebuilding. We have a lot of young guys out there. But mm-hmm. Starling Marte, you know, hurt last year, couldn't really play. And, you know, I wasn't happy with his production at all. But this year, he's showing you that he's a leader in the clubhouse.
Wasn't he hurt part of last year?
Yeah, he was hurt a lot. He had growing problems, and he just couldn't get it together. But
his first year with them was amazing. That was the year they went to the wild card, and he had a great year. He literally carried that team.
Yeah.
If he's back to his old form from 2022, then, it's a good it's a good piece to have. Now, I would say, would you say that Lindor is probably the most disappointing?
No, well, he's making a lot of money. So are we looking at it from a financial
point of view? No, I'm looking at it from an offensive standpoint. You got him for his offense.
I know we did, but you have to understand that the reason why I think you're saying that is because, you know, we spent so much on him and he's not clutch, if that's the word, you know, that you're looking for. I think the biggest disappointment is Alonso. He's impatient. He's not waiting for his pitches. He's swinging at these really outside the strike zone because he feels like he's not going to get his pitch, but he gets his pitch all the time. He just doesn't swing at it.
He just needs to be more patient. I feel like he's going up there thinking, I have to hit a home run because this team is not scoring the runs.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be this spark.
And exactly.
He's playing on a contract now.
Playing for a contract, yeah.
So there's pressure to want to do well. He is a Scott Boras client, so if he wants to get as much money as he can, he's got to produce. He's got to have like an Aaron Judge type of year or close to it, like the Aaron Judge did.
To get what he wants, yeah.
The year that he got his payday with the Yankees. But I also think The weather has to do a factor. You know, the ball, you know, the ball travels better in the summertime for some reason. I guess the air now in the wintertime, you know, not in the wintertime, but in the, you know, in New York, and the weather in April, May is not like Miami type of weather. It's, you know, 60s, 70s, so it's still kind of cold. They play on the water, so you get that draft. I always believe that.
Yeah, it's usually like
10 degrees cooler than it is outdoors.
Outside.
That makes sense.
It does. I went to the whole series, the first series against the Brewers. I was there for every single game. And let me explain something to you. When I say it was cold, it was bad. And, you know, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, Milwaukee goes in there and has fun in the park. When I say they have fun, they hit the ball hard, and they got on base a lot. All right? I kind of remember, I think they had like...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
20 hits in the first two games.
Wow.
That's all right? 20 hits in the first two games. And the Mets got one in the first one, and that was a Starling Marte home run. So he didn't even sit on the base. He hit it, got it over the fence, scored, and then we were done. Next game, we're having problems at the plate. We can't hit the ball. Obviously, if you can't hit the ball, you can't score. But
you know, yesterday,
I'm sorry.
You know who was a good who had a good performance defensively? Your third baseman, Beatty. He had a really nice diving catch. I don't know how he's doing offensively. He's not a power hitter. He's more of a line drive, gap type of hitter. So if you're the Mets, just got to be patient and see what happens. Let him do his thing.
Yeah, you need patience with him. I think he's going to develop into what we want. He's not going to be a David Wright, but he's going to develop into something that can be, you know, that we the Mets fans can be proud of. I think so. I think, you know, he's showing signs here and there. Defensively, he's showing signs. Like you said, that diving catch was amazing. The other day, well, at the Brewers series, we have men on second and third. We're losing the game. And for some reason, the manager, Mendoza, Carlos Mendoza, the new manager for the Mets, he decides to pinch hit with Beatty. I can't remember how many outs we had because it was really cold and I was frustrated. We were losing. But he brings up Beatty, pinch hits. And everybody boos. You can hear the boos in the stadium. All right? And guess what he does? He hits a home run. The crowd goes wild. Now all of a sudden the crowd has energy. It's electric in there. We still lost the game, but we came close. It was a good comeback for us because we were struggling throughout the whole game. And then the spark. And we were like, this is what we came to the ballpark for, you know?
Yeah. How's your catcher Alvarez doing?
Oh, man. He's showing great signs of, I want to play. I want to win. And that's what I love about a young player. He's great defensively. Has a great arm. He can only get better. But he hits. All right? Marte and Alvarez were the only two good hitters in the first series, to be honest with you. And Alvarez just keeps getting better. He's shown a lot of signs last year when we were, you know, down and out. But when he came up, he definitely showed us what he's capable of doing. And now he has a full year to really excel. And he's our catcher hopefully for the next 10 years. Hopefully we won't even have to look at that position.
Yeah, I always say catchers are like the quarterbacks for baseball, because if you have a great catcher, you can call the signs and catch any pitcher and not have a situation where, well, this pitcher only can pitch to this catcher, or that catcher can only handle this pitcher. You can have a problem. You need a catcher that can catch everybody, knows how to control the game. If you have a catcher that can do that, you can make a mediocre pitcher into a great pitcher, you know. And so now if that's the case, then the Mets can save some money and they don't have to do what they did, what, 2 years ago when they got Verlander and Max Scherzer, which unfortunately did not age so well.
Yeah, a bust.
But the question is can they develop pitchers? I don't know what their farm system is like as far as pitching goes, but at the players that they got now, they're just stop gaps until either they find somebody or they trade in the offseason. I don't see them training for a star pitcher in the regular season unless they have an amazing run in the first half.
That's
the case, you know, maybe you would.
Maybe.
Something I was thinking about recently, you know, as you know, Alonso's on his walk year. So with that being said, right, since if the Mets are not in the wild card race, would you trade Pete Alonso for draft picks? Because the way I think about it is, now they have new ownership. You know that you don't have to worry about, oh man, we're not going to get him back if we let him walk out the door. You have a new owner who's got money. He's not afraid to spend his money. So you could tell Pete, hey, listen, man, we love you. You're great, but we need to improve our team down the line. You're going to be a free agent at the end of the year. We'll let you go shop around at the end of you know, we'll trade you to X, Y, and Z. When your year's up, you see what contract you get. We'll try to be the best offer. And if you like it, great. We'll take you back, you know, if you want to. That's what I would do if I'm the Mets. The Yankees did that a couple years ago. They traded their stars and they got prospects back and they didn't have to rebuild as long. So if the Mets can do something like that. Now, the other thing is the Mets' number one goal next year is to sign Soto. I think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen at all.
Why do you think not?
Because I think he's finally found a home. You know, he moved around a lot in the last couple of years, and he was searching for something that felt like home. And I think that the energy that he's bringing to this team, and I'm watching him play, and he's super excited. And you can tell he loves it there. He doesn't like it. You can tell he loved it there. Think about it. If you're in MLB, right, and you get to sign with the Yankees, you know what that means, right? Like, you've made it to, like, the big show. Like, the Yankees are known worldwide. The Yankees are, like, where you want to play. For some odd reason, this, you know, every most championship, dream. Every kid's dream, right? Like, the most championships in baseball. You know, they're best classy.
Players, the best most players. Hall of Famers, probably.
Yeah. The most retired numbers, too. You know, it's like, it's where you want to be, all right? If you're not playing for the Dodgers in the NL, because obviously we saw that in the postseason, right?
Yeah, that's true.
When postseason shows, you know, all the stars are there. And they show up to the postseason every single year. Just like the Yankees used to, the Dodgers are the new Yankees in the NL. For the last, 7 years, the Dodgers have been in the postseason. That used to be a Yankee tradition. The Yankees never missed the playoffs. They just recently started doing that. But with this team is going to the playoffs. They're going to have to run through. I'm not going to say it the other way around. I'm not going to say Baltimore has to run through the Yankees to get to the World Series. No, the Yankees have to run through Baltimore to get to the World Series. You understand that, right?
At the moment, currently present, as if you look at both rosters on paper, the Yankees definitely have better offense. You got three power bats. Baltimore's, to be honest with you, I don't know anybody that's really, other than Santander, he's the best power hitter, I guess. The other guys are young, Rutschman, Henderson. So I personally think the Yankees have a better offense, and they have a better pitching staff. Like, they have Nestor Cortez. They got well-known guys who were successful. They got the Yankees have Stroman, Cortez. You know, the only well-known starter for the Orioles is Corbin Burns, but he was someone they traded for.
But that doesn't matter, though. That doesn't matter. It's not about household names. It's about how do you put this team together and why they're so good. They have amazing chemistry.
Yeah, their current Let's see. Today, Dean, you know, Grayson Rodriguez, he's in his first full year. He had a great game. He won yesterday. Dean Kramer had a great game today. He left the game in the seventh inning with the lead, but, you know, the bullpen blew it. But the pitching staff has been okay. They're doing all right. I think they'll be okay. Now, there's someone I thought they were going to maybe trade for, and that was Shane Bieber. But I just found out that Shane Bieber is going to be out for the rest of the year. He tore his ACL. He has to get Tommy John. So he's no longer a trade candidate for any team that might need a starting pitcher. So that's going to make the trade market, trade deadline more interesting. So I don't know what they're going to do now. For now, I think Baltimore is going to do what like the Yankees are doing, ride it out, see how it goes. If they're in the playoff hunt at the trade deadline, then they'll try to get a starter. If not, you know, maybe they'll do what they did a couple years ago and trade away some, you know, bullpen stuff and get better pitchers back, unknowns. But Baltimore's pitching has been good so far. They just lost the series. They should have won the series against Pittsburgh, but, you know, a bad play by the infielder cost them the game. But and then yesterday's game went into the 11th inning. They just lost, you know. So, you know, when you go into extra innings, that's up for grabs. It's like any game, any overtime game in any sport. Momentum swings drastically.
Yeah. I guess
with the man on second.
I don't like that at all.
I don't like it.
It just changes the game. I understand they're trying to speed up the game, but that move with having the man on second, a hit, you score. You know, I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be traditional like it used to be. Well, I'm older, so I guess, you
know. Reason why they did it is because speed up the games. But now that you have pitch clock, I think you can get rid of it. Pitch clock has been great. The average game is about 2 hours and 25 minutes. So, yeah, it might be a little bit longer. But I think they're trying to avoid the long, you know, old school Red Sox Yankee games that took 7 hours to play. Even I remember that. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was like the Mets played the Cardinals in it was a 1 o'clock game, right? And then until like 8, 9 o'clock at night, something like that.
It was something crazy.
How many plus innings?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
Yeah, it was crazy. But that's what they're trying to avoid. But I don't know. They need to get rid of the man on second. I see why they do it, you know. But I don't know. You gotta just play the game as is constituted, and then.
You see, but so they don't do it in the playoffs, but they do it in the regular season. So let's get rid of it altogether. If it's not good enough for the playoffs, let's get rid of it altogether. You can't have a rule right for the regular season and then all of a sudden, you know what? We got to get rid of this for the playoffs. You know, like, let's get rid of it altogether.
Playoffs, the reason why they get rid of it in the playoffs is to make the games more exciting. If you know that, you know, let's be honest, with the man on second, you have at least 70-80% chance of scoring that run.
Of course.
You know, whether all you need is a hit. Exactly. You need a hit. You need an error. You need a pop out. Who knows? It's anything can happen. So that chance is greatly. Whereas with no man on second, nobody on base, you're really scrapping to get that man run on first. That's the first goal. Get a man on base. Then you worry about the next goal. Okay, now you got man on base. How are you going to advance him?
Exactly.
So it's a strategy.
It's a strategy. I mean, both ways. I mean, it's just like when the NL had the pitcher batting ninth. It changes the game drastically, all right? It changes the way you pitch to that hitter. It changes the whole dynamic of the game, you know.
Oh, I love the DH. It's so much
better. I mean, it's more exciting. It definitely is. But I'm a National Leaguer, so that little change used to give the National League home field advantage in the World Series. Because think about it, your pitcher. I mean, with the once interleague was put into play, the American League pitchers had to actually grab a bat when they played interleague games at the national teams. Exactly at home
and all games. Only reason why I like the DH is because if you have someone like, for example, the Mets just got JD Martinez, right? He's not going to be an everyday outfielder anymore. He's your perfect someone that you can still play. He still has some pop, but he can't play the field every day. Or if you're like the Yankees, you have Giancarlo Stanton. He's always injured. But guess what? He can hit the home runs. He can hit for you. Yeah. Same thing with Judge. So that's what I like about it. So you have a player that is no longer used every day, now can be used every day, and he can just be a spark for your offense.
Whereas I agree.
A pitcher, most pitchers cannot. Not everyone's a Bartolo Colon.
No, DeGrom. How about DeGrom?
DeGrom
was an amazing hitter.
Exactly. So not everyone's going to be doing that. So by having your pitcher hit, you're wasting, essentially, in my opinion, it's a good strategy because
it's
you have advantage over everybody else.
It's different.
Especially against American League teams because American League pitchers don't hit. So there's a strategy. It works well in the World Series and the playoff game. You know, in the World Series is when it becomes an advantage. That's the only time. But in the regular season game, so I can see your standpoint as to why you like the pitching going up to bat.
Yeah, it shows it's different, two different sides doing different things. And then when they collide, you have to, you know, adjust to our rules. And when we go to your home, we adjust to your rules. It's beautiful. I loved it. I felt like, you know, that was the difference between us and them. And now we're equals, right?
So brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. So, the game is a little bit more exciting, right? Because you have true nine hitters, you know, coming up to the plate and trying to do something, right? But I understand what you're saying, too. There are guys out there, like closers, right, that fill that extra slot in the batting order as a DH where you're like, that guy's dangerous. That guy is here for one sole purpose, you know? So, yeah, mm-hmm. I can't wait for J.D. Martinez to show up because it's going to be interesting. Hopefully, they'll put him in the right slot where he can be protection for Alonso, and maybe Alonso can relax a little bit more, right? And hit the ball better because you have to pitch to one of them, all right? So in a playoff situation, you have JD hitting third. You have Alonso fourth. And you got men on first and second with no outs, right? What are you going to do?
Yeah, you got to choose who you're going to either walk or pitch to and take your risk.
Exactly. So pick your poison. Because it's not looking good right now for you, you know?
No, if you're the pitcher, the opposing pitcher, you really have to be strategic with what you're going to do.
Definitely.
But anyway, with that being said, so I know you guys are – so you guys won 2 out of 3. The Mets won 2 out of 3 against Cincinnati. And now they head to Atlanta. It'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting. I mean, listen, it's you have to run through there. No matter what happens this season, if you want to get anywhere, you have to run through there. The Mets don't play well in Atlanta. They never have. You know, me and you went to a whole series.
Yeah, that was fun, man.
Last time I came to visit you because you're in Atlanta and I'm in New York. I'm a true Mets fan. You're from Jersey and you moved out to Atlanta. And I like the Atlanta Braves too. They're a true team. You moved to a great spot in the world.
Man.
But true Oriole fan, and I love that about you. But you appreciate good teams, and you appreciate great baseball. Let's talk about what you experienced last night.
So I went to my first game of the year. It was their second home game of the season. So yesterday's game, I forget, was it Freed? Whoever was pitching. Anyway, it was Freed.
Freed, right?
Yeah, he had he gave up 6 runs in the first inning. I was like, oh boy, this is gonna ugly fast. You know, you knew something was wrong because he doesn't usually give up 6 runs like that.
No, he's tough.
And then Arizona's a good team. Everyone seems to think that it was a one time thing that they showed up in the World Series. I think they're good. Yeah, they think they're a fluke, but I think Arizona's a good team. I like their young team. They got the Corbin Carrolls of the world. They got Ketel Marte, I think his name is.
Yeah.
So he's good. They got Moreno. I think he's their catcher. He's good.
There's a lot,
they got Luis Gurriel Jr. Yep.
A lot of speed. They have a lot of speed. They steal a lot.
Yeah, they do. But anyway, they like in yesterday's game, you know, they're a small ball team as far as the Diamondbacks. They just they put the ball in play, and that's how they score runs. They're not a home run hitting team, and that's what they did yesterday. In Atlanta, they just never gave up, and Ozuna got an RBI, and then Marco Harris got a triple, and then it was a snowball effect, and it was 8-2 at one time, and I ended up staying. I said, you know what, I'm not going to leave because I don't know. I just had that feeling maybe they could come back. They came back the night before in a walk-off. They came back, so I was like, maybe there's a chance they'll come back. And man, that ninth inning when they scored 9-8, man, it was electrifying in there.
Of course it was.
You know, everyone's doing the tomahawk chop. You know, the way that, for those who've never been to a game, what they do is they turn on the lights, and everybody puts on their cell phone light, and they do the chop. And
it looks beautiful.
Amazing atmosphere.
Yeah.
But they came back. They're like you said. You said it best. They're a feisty team. Atlanta's not going to back down. They're not going to get bullied.
Never.
They're going to fight like heck, and they're going to score. And you better be – it's going to be a 12-round fight with the Braves. It's not a 1-2-3 punch. So just when you think you're up 8-0, 8-2, and think you're going to come back – I mean, they're not going to come back, you're highly mistaken. As far as the versus the Mets series go, if I'm the Mets, my goal would be to minimize – You have to have good outings from your starters. You got to minimize the runs, minimize the mistakes. The Mets haven't been made; they haven't really made crucial mistakes. I have to give them that. They're not a sloppy team, which is good. It's just the offense is not producing. But who knows? You know, it's a little warmer here in Atlanta. It's going to be about like 70+ degrees, so that
it's
might help
change
them.
Everything. No, it's going to help a lot.
It makes a difference. You know, New York is what 50s, 60s lately.
And that stadium today, okay, so today it was, what, high 50s? It would have been like low 30s inside the building. That's how bad it gets. There's a lot of wind tunnels, and it gets ugly in there. Like, it's bad. You have to bring your winter coat in April to go see a Met game. That's how bad it is. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. So the Mets and the Braves, it's a four-game series the bat. I don't have the pitchers in front of me, but...
That's going to be Julio Teheran in the first game for the Mets.
Hauser for the second game.
What's
his name? Severino, third or fourth
Severino
game?
For the third game, I believe. You're right about that.
I don't know who the pitcher is on Wednesday for the Braves, but they haven't figured out yet.
They haven't figured that out yet, man.
I think Strider or Freed.
No, Strider's hurt right now. Strider's gone for the season. Their best pitcher in the NL.
He's out for the season?
Yeah, he's out for the season. He won 20 games last year, right? And he was first in strikeouts, I believe, at 281. That's off the top of my head. But, yeah, he's going to be sorely missed. Yeah, he's going to be missed.
Yeah, but like I said, they're a team that can afford – if there's one team that can afford to lose a starting pitcher, it's them because offense is just relentless. The offense up and down the lineup is just dangerous. Even the guy who we got, the former Mets prospect, Jared Kelenic, he had a good game. He had a couple good hits yesterday. Travis d'Arnaud, man, he's been, I don't know what he was in New York, he was awful, but since he got to Atlanta, and now he's starting every day because Atlanta lost Sean Murphy, he's out for this couple weeks. But d'Arnaud offensively, on Friday, he got the game-winning single. And then yesterday, he had a 2-RBI game, I think it was, like that. But he was just good. And
he's great now.
He's
all amazing.
Right. So I'm glad to see he's doing well.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, I'm a Mets fan. So everyone likes to, you know, laugh at me. I'm from the Bronx. I'm a Mets fan. I live maybe 20-minute walk from Yankee Stadium. Yep, I go there maybe once a year. And it's a free ticket.
The Yankees.
Exactly. And, you know, I get memes all the time. People send me, you know, a text here and there to make fun of me. For example, You have this. All right, that's
you not
know,
nice. I guess
that's not nice at all. But you know what? Are they right? Maybe. Right? And then, of course,
yeah. Lately, I get this one.
I get this one. Read that one. And this is so true. This is so true. Good players come to the Yankees and become great. Good players leave the Mets and become great. And that's the truth, all right? The other day I saw Seth Lugo playing for KC as a starter. He's back to his starter ways, doing great. Right. And I was amazed. Yeah, he did. Well, he played, you know, when he first played for the Mets, he was a starter. Then they moved him to the bullpen and they left him there. But I saw him. He was shining bright star, doing his thing in KC. I believe he won that game too. It was pretty amazing. Conforto, another guy, left
Francisco,
the team.
Francisco, man, he's doing good. He took a year off too.
He took a year off
because he was hurt.
He was hurt.
So, and I thought it was a guy that I really thought the Mets were going to resign Conforto. I was like, that was their number one guy they're going to build around because Alonso hadn't been up yet. And
he was Conforto, young, yeah.
Conforto was good with the Mets. He wasn't horrible. I don't think he was horrible.
But now he's great. Now he's great. Playing for San Francisco, he's having a great year. Another player, Justin Turner. As soon as he left the Mets, he turned into a superstar.
I always forget that he was a Met.
Yeah, he was.
Did he ever make it to the majors with the Mets, or he just had a couple calls?
Yeah, he played for us for a while. Then he moved on to the Dodgers, and oh man, he turned into a monster. He's getting longer than tooth now. I think he's playing for Boston now, right?
Yeah. He's Boston.
He's playing for Boston now.
Boston or Toronto, one of those two teams. But either way, he's not as good.
He was great. You know, he was okay with us, but he turned into a force. You know, who was another player that? Oh, Travis is the perfect example. Travis was so bad with the Mets that I couldn't even believe he was a major leaguer. All right, towards the end of his term with the Mets, it was so bad.
Remember how they got him?
Of course, I remember how they got him.
Dickey.
He was a Cy Young winner with 20 wins. 20 wins turned R.A. Dickey into a Cy Young, and they were like, wow, we don't want this guy anymore. And Syndergaard.
Actually, it turned into a good trade because Syndergaard was way better than R.A. Dickey was. R.A. Dickey had like two good years, and that was it. And then you got Travis d'Arnaud, even though d'Arnaud didn't do well for the Mets. The problem he had with the Mets, he just would make up a bunch of errors, and he just couldn't.
A lot.
He wouldn't get the timely hits as far as like the crucial hits when they were, runners on base. He just either strike out, pop out, or double plays.
But he was horrible. He killed a lot of behind the plate. He was horrible with the catcher, too. Defensively, he was horrible.
Yeah,
he's done better.
I don't know. He's done great, and I don't know what it is. If it's the coaching or just a different venue.
Of course it is.
I do believe in that there is pressure playing in New York. It's a lot more pressure than you. The media is bigger, so you feel the heat way more than you do any other place. You know, Atlanta. You know, if you're semi, like they love, like for example, they love d'Arnaud here. He's and to your New York standards. He's not, he's not going to get a round of applause from the Mets fans. He'll more likely get boos than congratulate. We're in Atlanta. They don't care. He's good. Yeah, you're great. Let's give him a round of applause, even if he's having a horrible game, you know. But in the last couple of days, he's turned out well. But it'll be interesting how the Mets do in this series. Like I said, the Mets, here's the goal. You got to reduce their Braves ability to score runs. If you can do that, you can keep it a 1-2 run game. The Mets do have a chance. The Mets lineup isn't horrible. I think it's a good lineup on paper.
On paper, it's
Alonso, you got McNeil, you got Beatty, you got Alvarez, you got
Nimmo.
Nimmo's not bad. He's been good. Who else?
You have Alonso on first. You have McNeil. For some reason, McNeil.
Lindor.
Forgot how to hit the ball. Lindor had a great day today, you know? He hit his first home run. He had a multi-hit game. And we hit a lot.
Yeah, I saw that.
We hit a lot. We got 11 hits, I believe. We start looking like the team that looks good on paper. It's actually, showing signs of, this is what we have, and this is what we can do. I need to see that a lot more, but obviously, going into Atlanta is not going to be easy.
It's a good test. This is a good test for the Mets.
That's a good
test.
You're
on the road. You're playing you're the arch nemesis currently in that division. They've had that. They've won the division in the last, what, 10 plus years? Almost 10 years now they've won? Or no, maybe less than that. But at least the last 7 years they've won that division.
No. In 2015, we took it, right? But you know what? They've won it the majority of the time.
Yes.
Okay? Because they can do that. Okay. And they start slow, and then they ramp it up, and they just get it done. Atlanta's the team you want to play for in the National League East. I mean, you have the Phillies, too. The Phillies are interesting. They can't really play.
Struggling a little bit, but
yeah, they're struggling. But they'll take care of it. And don't forget that they come into the wild card and they take the high road and they always make it to the show.
Yeah,
the last 2 years they came in through the wild card. That means they have to play extra baseball, and they're able to compete in that environment. And they have a great lineup and they have great pitching, but for some reason they can't, you know, take the lead in the division. But if they come in through a wild card, it's guaranteed that it's not going to be easy. You know, they have the Schwarbers, the Real Mutos, the Harpers, the Zach Wheelers, another great addition. And where did he come from? The New York Mets in the Wilpon era. The Taiwan Walkers, another great guy that I definitely did not want to get rid of. I loved him. You know, won over 10 games for them in his last year with the Mets. And what happens? To get rid of him. That made no sense to me. But it's okay. Listen, you saw the meme. This is what happens to me. On a daily basis, I get memes from Yankee fans because, you know, the majority.
Finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft close doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Okay, my friends are Yankee fans, except for you. You're the Baltimore Oriole fan. You know, and I respect you because you know what? When they were trash, you were still wearing a hat. My team is always trash, and I wear my hat. You know?
Yeah. But it's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time. You're due, and you're looking good. I have a little trivia for you. Because you know, you're the genius. Let me see what you got.
Who is the only player to record over 5,000 strikeouts?
That's correct. I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about that.
I'm going to go with Nolan Ryan. That's what I'm going with.
Wow. You're 100% correct. Nice. And Nolan Ryan had 5,714 strikeouts in 27 seasons with he moved around a lot, but 27 seasons, pitches don't make it that far.
No, not with all these Tommy Johns. The reason why they don't make it that long anymore, because first of all, players back then during Nolan Ryan days, they played through injuries too. They didn't throw as hard. They were more known for having control
movement
and movement. Yes. Nowadays, these guys, they throw their arm. They're throwing 100-plus in high school, 17-year-old now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's why they only pitch 5 innings. So now you have to coddle them. You got to make sure you pamper them. Not in a bad way, but you got to protect them from themselves. Because if it was a pitcher, they'd throw forever. But
you're right.
The problem is pitchers back then, like I said, they didn't throw as hard. So, but the reason why he was so good is because he had control. The ball would dance all over the strike zone. You have nowhere it was going to go. Nowadays, you have an idea where it's going to go. The question is, can you catch up to the speed?
Yeah.
And nowadays, most batters, a lot of batters can. So now, when the batters can catch up to your speed, I feel like today's pitchers are one-trick pony. It's all about speed, 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 speed. Speed can only get you so fast.
So far,
speed does kill, but these hitters have speed too. They can freaking hit, 100-mile-per-hour balls hit. It's like double off the bat. You know, Aaron Judge hits a 100-mile-per-hour pitch from DeGrom. Psh, That ball is leaving the field. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly. It's 100% gone.
That's why Nolan Ryan was so great.
Let me ask you a question. Let me see if you can answer this one. Who do you think was number two?
Number two in strikeouts?
In strikeouts.
Number two.
I'll give you a hint because who was the big unit?
Bartolo Colon.
Negative.
Oh, no, the big unit.
The big unit was Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was
tough. And he was tough, right? And he only pitched for 22 seasons, which I think is amazing.
For someone that tall and the way he threw, he had a weird delivery.
He did.
Conventional.
No, it wasn't.
And he was another guy. He had speed, but that ball would dance. You remember that video where he hit that bird?
Yes, I remember that video. Of course I remember that video. That was hilarious.
That was crazy.
It was crazy.
He was a tall, lengthy guy, but his ball would dance in the strike zone. And it would. That was why he was so hard to hit. And he would throw hard, too.
Yeah.
But he knew how to get the ball to move. And that's what makes a pitcher great, is when you've lost your speed, can you make the ball move around? And if you can do that, speed doesn't matter anymore because now you have control.
Yeah,
and most pitchers, today's pitchers can't do that. So Randy Johnson was very unique in that sense, and he was tall. So, the delivery looks different. I mean, the angles look crazy. You know what I mean?
They look crazy.
What looked like high to you turns out to be a strikeout.
It's true though. For 22 seasons, for 5 extra years, I think that. I think that Randy, if he would have had an extra 5 years, he could have totally surpassed Nolan. At 4,875 strikeouts in 22 years, I think he could have surpassed Nolan if he would have stuck around for another 5 years. You know, but it's crazy because, like you said, the players back in the day, they lasted way longer out there. You know, but now these players get hurt and need Tommy John. They come back stronger, but they can't last as long as they did back in the day. Different type of pitching, different type of, you know, energy. It's weird, but it's true though.
No, definitely. Definitely true. Well, anyway, so this past week, one thing we like to do on the show is we have two performers that we like to recognize, and one of them is the Gunslinger of the Week, and the other one is the Slugfester, the guy who, had lights out at the bat and at the plate hitting-wise, and then the Gunslingers who had the best outing.
Yeah.
And
so this week's Gunslinger.
Gunslinger of the Week.
Our Gunslinger of the Week is Ronel Blanco from the Houston Astros. Tell us what he did.
All 9 innings, 27 outs. He only had 2 walks. I don't have the strikeouts.
Yeah, he had seven strikeouts.
He had 7 strikeouts. And then today he pitched again, and he only gave up 1 hit.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And they won. Wow. They played the Texas Rangers. It was the Sunday night game of the week. They beat did they beat them? I think they beat the Texas. Yeah, they beat Texas. But it's pretty amazing because his story is amazing. He literally made the team on the last day of training camp. And he was a fill-in because Verlander's still out.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. Exactly. This is his first year in MLB, right? And the funny thing about him is that he was a late bloomer, all right? 28 years old, 8 career starts, and he's only there because of the Verlander injury. And he goes 9 innings, 7 Ks, 2 walks, and that team hit like a machine. They won 10-0 that day against the Blue Jays. Gunslinger of the Week, hands down.
No, definitely. He was amazing.
Amazing.
Who do you have for your slugfest of the week?
That's easy. This is somebody we all know that's good for it.
Bryce Harper, man.
Oh, my God.
I'll let you talk about Harper since he's an NL guy.
I mean, he's a threat no matter what happens. He's a scary at bat. But he gets three dingers in one game. And who does that these days? It's very hard. Three dingers in one day. Of course, he's the slugfest of the week. Why wouldn't he be? Now, we're getting to the end of the show. And we want to say thank you for showing up. And we'll be back next Sunday with another good one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We're going into our second full week, technically. They started the season on a Thursday, so it's not a full week. So we're technically going into our second week of the season. It'll be interesting. We have a good series. Like I said, we got the Mets going on. We got the Yankees. Baltimore's playing their first games against the division opponent, Boston.
Are they playing the Pirates next?
No, they play Pittsburgh. They lost 2 out of 3, but it's all right. It's not a division game, so it's not the end of the world.
No, but Pittsburgh is tough now, too. They're getting great. They're turning into an animal. Yeah. They have a lot of wins this year already. They're playing really good baseball. You know, if they play well against a team like the Orioles, you know that there's something special there. You know, because you have to run through the good teams, you know, and say, this is what we have. I mean, you're supposed to beat up on the bottom feeders. But when you can run through a team like the Orioles, you know that you have something. You have something.
Yeah, Boston currently is ahead of us. They're 7-3 in the division. So
Boston and the Yankees have you. Yeah.
You can never count out Boston. They're a good team. Now, the season's young. Who knows, you know, at the end of the season, it could be Baltimore back on top. I don't know. But
I think it's still early.
It's still early. Injuries happen. People change. Weather changes. Things change, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Players come and go. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. So next week's episode, we'll talk about anything that interesting that popped off. Obviously, the thing I'm waiting to hear more about is this whole Otani gambling situation.
Oh my God!
It's kind of interesting that the MLB says that we're not going to do any investigation. But meanwhile, they spent $50 million investigating A-Rod for steroids. I think gambling is worse than steroids because steroids is more of an individual thing than with betting. You know, if Otani betted, why wouldn't he bet on baseball if you're losing money like that? Well, he wasn't betting. His interpreter, but the interpreter is losing money, why not bet on baseball? You know the ins and outs. You know everything that the Dodgers doing or the Angels. You know who they're playing. You know he goes out there when they pitch. He goes out with them when they take the cab ride from home to the game. So he knows everything. He's the right-hand man. So something sounds sketchy. I don't know what's going on. MLB said they're going to wait for FBI to do their thing. And if FBI, I think what's going to happen is if whatever the FBI, because the FBI doesn't care that he's the face of baseball. They're going to do all the reason why MLB's not doing an investigation because they don't want to know what, because there's this stuff that they're going to know that they want revealed. And it'd be probably bad that they would have to suspend their star, and they don't want to do that.
He's the Michael of baseball currently. Let's go back a little further. He's the Michael Jordan of the MLB right now. Yeah. How about that? That's what he is.
And in two countries, not just here.
Exactly. In so Japan, it'll be horrible. Imagine if you have to ban Otani from baseball. You know how much that's gonna hurt.
Well, you should. If he uses to bet on baseball, he deserves to be banned. That's worse than Pete Rose. It's along the same lines. It's worse because he's actually playing. Pete Rose wasn't playing when he did it. He was managing. That's the big difference. Now, if you're playing, you control how you do.
Exactly. You can tank a game for.
Yeah.
Whatever amount of money that you put down, you know, it's true. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, it's bad.
Or the thing is when you go to a bookie, you know, it's tax free at the moment. But if you, because in California, they don't have legal sports betting. They don't have FanDuel or what's the other one? DraftKings. They don't have that yet. So, and even if they did, no legal company is going to allow you to spend that much money. A bookie will be like, all right. The bookie reason why they probably let him get in that much debt is because they're like, well, we know we got the funds we can get out of Ohtani. Or what we'll say, okay, you know what, we don't want your money, but you have to tank. You got to do really bad to make us money. So we'll bet against you. You got to go 0-3. You got to go on a 3-game losing streak, over 6-game losing streak, whatever the case may be to pay us back. Or yeah, we'll take the guy out at the knees.
That's and pretty scary.
Literally, that's what they would do, like literally. Yeah, I don't know about you, but if you get no, not even casinos are going to let you spend that much money. No place is going to let you. But if you owe me all that money, trust me, if I have no way of getting that money, the next way I'm going to go after you is your life. And that's what they'll do. These people do.
Oh, my God. Scary.
It's kind of crazy. But yeah. I don't think it's the whole notion of, oh, my God, he stole our money. That's the original story. That's hard to believe. How do you not know that $43 million is just missing out of your account? Now, if you're making millions of dollars, maybe you don't quite pay attention to everything. But I don't know about you, but I know if $20 is missing out of my account and it's something I didn't do, I was like, you know, not granted.
Yeah, but this guy has, if that's true that this guy has all this type of access to this guy's account, it's a little insane. Yeah, I mean, he does everything for him. Apparently, this is a normal thing amongst, you know, interpreters, but I'm sorry. You're not going to have access to my money like that. All right? How much money do you need in the account to do my dailies? You know what I mean? I don't know, but we'll find out. But we're coming to the end of the show. We want to say thank you once again for showing up and listening.
Man, thank you.
And we'll see you all next week. Exactly. Any questions, any comments, you can look us up on strikeoutbros@gmail. Leave whatever it is that you feel like you need to put down on there. And we'll see you next week. And you guys have a great night.
All right, man. See you next week.
Next week, brother.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.